All right, Reality Daily, Wyatt coming at you. Got a special episode for you. It is the one-off. It is the Chopped holiday special. Chopped, probably the most iconic food show, at least right now. You know, I was a pretty big fan of Iron Chef when that came out, but I think Chopped right now has taken the world by storm. And this holiday special took four of the grand champions, and they cooked festive themed baskets. And I am joined by Nathan to break it all down. Nathan, how are you?
My gosh, I'm doing great. It's been so long since I've watched Chopped. You know, I grew up like in middle school, like watching this show in our little town home in the kitchen while I was cooking my dinner after school. Chopped used to always be on. So I'm excited to actually talk about it.
Yeah, I remember Chopped way back when they didn't put weird ingredients in the baskets. Like I watched it when the weirdest thing was like a rhubarb in the basket. And now it's like, here's this crazy sculpture of, you know, uncooked beef and mashed potatoes that look like Santa. And it's not like, it's not just like this episode. It's like all the episodes have like really weird stuff where it's like, hey, like here is a wreath made of like parsley or something like that. It's like, why don't you give him parsley?
Bro, they had a cocktail in the basket.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. But I did love the idea of this. And when I messaged you about maybe covering the holiday special, I really liked the idea of having the grand champions back. Now, I was under the impression that it was going to be like the tournament of champions winners, like the people that won Chopped, came back, and then won the tournament of champions. So they had won three games in a row. It turns out that a lot of these people, in fact, all of them, did not win the traditional tournament of champions, but instead won like a mini tournament, the Grillmasters and some of the other ones.
Yeah, and my question for you, because I was wondering the same thing, is this their first return to Chopped, or are they people that won the original Chopped, came back to those like specialty, like there's like a gambling one, and then now we're on this season, or is this just their second time on Chopped? That's what was confusing.
So I know for, I guess I should say, I'm pretty confident that Kaylina and Anissa, I believe both of them, this was their second time in the Chopped Kitchen, first time since winning their tournament. I know Boots had returned to a Thanksgiving special because I actually watched it. I actually recognized him on there. He was on like a Thanksgiving special maybe a year or two ago. I can't remember if it was 2022 or 2021, but he was on like a Thanksgiving special and he did get chopped during the episode. So he had been chopped before. And as far as Christina, who we saw losing the appetizer round, I'm not sure if she had competed after her original stint or not. I don't believe so, but I also am not 100% sure on that. But I know Boots had been back because I actually saw his one-off episode.
Yeah, who did you like? Who did you like coming into this? Like, you know, they had that introduction scene where they went through everyone's background. What were your
So for me, I did a little bit of homework on all of them, or I tried to prior to it. And I guess we'll get into the cast and I'll give my thoughts. But number one is going to be Melvin Johnson, a.k.a. Boots. He was the Grillmaster champion. So, you know, most Chopped fans are going to know this because I've done this for about a decade now. But they have the grilling tournaments. Now, he, I believe, was the first one to win the grilling championship when it was indoors. So it was not the ginormous like pit smoker that they had outside in the beginning. His season was actually really interesting because they broke down the original heats by what type of barbecue you cook. So his was like Memphis style barbecue, and it was like a Kansas City heat and a North Carolina heat and a Texas heat. So he was able to represent for Memphis. Now, he was born and raised in Compton. I do remember that from seeing him before. His family had a barbecue restaurant. When it closed down, he just kept cooking. He cooked in Vegas. He cooked for Bobby Flay's restaurant for a little bit. And then at the time that I saw him last, he was the executive chef at this restaurant in Queens that does like barbecue, but also like game day food, I guess. Like they do like a lot of like macaroni and tacos and things like this. I guess more of a, like a barbecue slash sports bar. I'm not sure if that's where he's still working, but that's where he was working when he did the original grill tournament that I saw him at. Really liked Boots a lot. I can understand why they brought him back so many times, is because I do think he has a really good cadence in the confessionals.
He pops off the screen. He's even like into it when he's cooking too. Like when the pressure's the highest, he's like, did I see him clap in the face of one of the people like during?
I think he was like trying to cheer on everybody. And I think he did end up clapping in somebody's face, but it wasn't like I'm better than you. Clap, clap, clap. It was like, hey, good job, guys. We got through this.
Yeah, so funny anyways. I think he was the most like interesting character. And I wish you know, we can talk about it when we talk about that entree round, but I wish he made it one round first.
Yeah, I thought he was going to get chopped in the first round. I felt pretty confident that his macaroni was not going to hold up. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. A second person is going to be Christina Coupette. She won the Alton Brown's tournament where it was supposed to be maniacal food. So Alton Brown, a lot of people know him from Good Eats on Food Network. He was also the commentator on Iron Chef America. He's just like a food nerd. Like he's just so big into it, the way that he is able to be so intricate in talking about food. But they had a tournament in 2021 where he had the craziest food. Everything that he had in the baskets were of his choosing or the viewer's choosing. And it was just a crazy. And this is why I thought Christina was going to win, as I was like, well, she's had the hardest baskets. Like the thing about the Grill Masters tournaments with Boots and Anissa was on a similar Grill Master tournament is, you know, it's about your grilling. So they're not looking for your creativity as much. So they're not going to give you crazy things that nobody cooks with. They're going to give you things that like are real ingredients and you have to decide how to do it. So it's a little bit of a puff tournament in terms of like there's not that many things that are really going to throw somebody off. It's just about can they grill it in time, where this one was like really difficult. Like you had things like surstroming and durian and just like stuff that you always hear about being absolute disasters for people. And, you know, I really thought that she was going to be able to succeed because her baskets were so tough. Yeah, for Christine, I did a quick Google search because I did not see her Alton Brown's tournament. She got a culinary degree from Johnson & Wales, which is a university in Charlotte. So North Carolina stand up. She at one point, I think during her original tenure, she was like a corporate executive chef, I think was the title for what I believe is a Cuban restaurant in South Florida. But then she mentioned on the show that now she's turned into being an instructor. So I don't know if that's like a culinary school instructor or maybe like does like private teaching or something like that. But she's going to mention on the show that she's first generation Haitian. So has a little bit of a Caribbean background. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of flair that she had during this. But let's move on to the third person. And that is Kalina Bliss. She was the Chopped Casino Royale Grand Champion. I did watch this tournament. I really enjoyed it. You know me, Nathan. I'm very into the gamble, and that is what this tournament was. She was an executive chef at the Seattle Hotel at the time. I believe she still is. Did you see the Casino Royale tournament?
No, I didn't. It flew off the screen, though, when they went over it. What was the premise?
So the premise is that you would have your box, and you could choose to replace, I believe you could only replace one of the ingredients each round, if I remember correctly. And you would pick the ingredient, and then you would go to the craps table, and then you would throw the dice. And you would have two dice, so you could roll anywhere between a 2 and a 12. And if you rolled odds, you got like a bad ingredient. If you got a even number, you got what they thought was a good ingredient, but everything was mystery. So you'd roll a 7, then they pulled the little tin up under the number 7, and it would be like, here is saffron. Like, I know that was something in her original time. She, out of the 6 rounds, she only replaced the stuff twice. All the other times, she says, I'm okay with what's in this basket. But I know one time she rolled and got saffron. That was good. And then another time she rolled and it was good, and it was like gooseberries, which is not something I'm super familiar with, but it was a good ingredient to use, especially in the desserts. So, yeah, it's really fun. Another thing that was really fun is in the finale, if you rolled, the amount of money would either go higher or lower in the prize pool. Like if it was odd number, it would be subtracted from the prize pool of 25 grand. And if it was even, it'd be added. So you could lose 11 grand for the pot on a single roll in the finale. You could also gain 12,000. So it ended up being 40,000, I think, was the total haul that she was able to win.
That's pretty good for Chopped. That's really good for Chopped.
Yeah, so she was able to do it. I really enjoyed her on the show. I thought she had a good chance to win because I had watched the show, and because she was so confident with 4 of the 6 baskets that she had. And on that Casino Royale, they really wanted to screw you over. They really wanted to give you something that was so bad every basket that you would have to roll. And for her to be so confident in 4 of the 6 baskets and to succeed and not get chopped, I knew she was a good cook. I thought she would make it to the final. I thought she might lose to Christina just because I feel like Christina has, you know, more experience with better ingredients. But I definitely thought that she would outlast these two grill masters. And then we'll move on to the last person here. And this is Anisha Garcia, she was the Playing with Fire champ. Now, Playing with Fire was similar to the Grillmasters. It was indoors, and it was really about open flames is really what it's more important about. Their preliminary rounds was based around different types of proteins. I know her preliminary round was surf and turf, so there's a lot more seafood than the other rounds, and then she was able to win in the final, of course. She was chef de cuisine in New York. Not sure what the type of restaurant. I assume it has a Latin flair to it, because as she's going to mention ad nauseum, it's not her fault. It's definitely the editor's fault, though. I don't know if you heard this, Nathan. She's from two different backgrounds that are completely different, Mexican and Venezuelan. They put that in there almost every 2 minutes she was on the screen.
Dude, this is why I picked her to win. And no, not doing like Monday morning quarterback, but she was my winner pick after the introduction scene, because I was like, all right, she's good at two different cuisines. And she won some sort of grill master season. So she know how she knows how to cook the meat, and she knows how to cook it in different ways. And she was my winner pick based off of that.
Yeah, good, you know, thinking there. For me, I just knew that the ingredients that she had to cook with, similar to Boots and the original tournament, were just not as difficult as the ones that the other two chefs had to cook with. So I assumed that she would struggle with maybe coming up with the most creative thing when they're going to throw something crazy at her, like you know, the Santa meatloaf or the sushi menorah that we saw later on. So I thought that she would probably end up going first or second, with Boots kind of being interchangeable. Completely wrong about this. She's going to really do well in the competition. Now, what I thought was so bullshit, Nathan, is that they're competing for 10 grand, but the 10 grand is for charity. Are you fucking kidding me?
Are you still competing if you go all this way to go to Chapter in the holidays and they take you for charity?
So what I assume is that they probably gave these people an appearance fee. But my thing is this, is like, listen, Food Network is, you know, I would say pretty successful. They could, without a doubt, afford another 10 grand and say, hey, 10 grand for you and 10 grand for charity to spend the holiday spirit. Why are we cheating these people out of, you know, another 10 grand?
Yeah, don't you think when you give like a cash prize to charity – that it should be more than what you give to the players when they normally win the show?
Yeah, you would think it's maybe for like $25,000 or something. I just felt like it was like, what the fuck, dude? And like, listen, I'm not going to say that other people should be donating, but you got three celebrity chefs there that probably do. They're probably pretty successful. Like, maybe they could chip in a way. I don't know how much they really make, though, so I probably shouldn't be suggesting them. But I just feel like, listen, if I'm them, I'm pissed. Like, I get to come back on the show and I got to compete for charity. Like, charity's great and everything, but I don't think these people are like millionaires, right? These people are still working the typical executive chef role, and I think that the salary of those can really vary. Dude, I really would like for some of these people to get some cash.
Yeah, I'm going to make the charity, and it's going to be like the charity I founded. Like,
yeah. The one where like I teach like homeless kids to cook, but like I charge like $200 every time a homeless kid comes in. Like, it's basically just going back to you. I just felt like, listen, good on these people for having causes that were close to their heart. I'm sure, like I said, they probably did get some type of stipend, but holy shit, like, you can afford 10 grand, Food Network. I know you can. You got Discovery Plus. It's a holiday special, for goodness sakes. Like, it should be something that you're going to be able to re-air all the time in the holidays. Like, I don't know. I was pretty pissed off about that. The judges for this episode were Scott Conant, Manit, and then Eric Adjabong. I apologize if I mispronounced that. I'm sure I did. Now, this is the first time I've actually seen Eric in the judges' table. As we've mentioned, it's been a little bit since I've seen Jot, but he was on Top Chef. I do know that. He was on Top Chef Kentucky, was a finalist, then was even selected as an all-star, and now he's the host of Alex vs. America, which is basically the Bobby Flay, Bobby versus, but for Alex, gonna Shelley instead. Have you ever seen Eric on Chopped?
No, it's been so long.
Yeah, I have seen the other two. Scott obviously has been there from pretty much the start, I believe. Manit's been really interesting because I don't know if you know this or not, Nathan, but on Food Network, and they've done this for, I believe, 3 to 4 years in a row, they always have like a show during a little mini series during March Madness. And it's called the Tournament of Champions. And they basically have all these really superstar chefs. They may work for Food Network, they may not, but they come from, you know, Top Chef or James Beard Award winners or whatever. Manit won it in the second season, and I believe got really far in season 3 and 4. I think she was like final four and then finalist. So she is like one of the best chefs in the world. Time and time again, she proves it. So very happy to see her on the screen. But let's get into the appetizer round, Nathan. And we get four ingredients that are so crazy. Sardine candy canes. So this is what it's kind of like my negative thing about Chopped is like, hey, it's cool that they are putting in these like really weird ingredients to test the chefs, but nobody eats sardine candy canes, right? This isn't a real thing. This is something that they produce themselves just so they could put in the basket. And for me, I think like if it's not something that people actually eat, why is it even in the basket?
I had to think for a second, like how in the world would I use sardine candy canes? But you know what? They do exist. You can buy them from Amazon.
Yeah, I just feel like it's like it's not a real like it's like a gag gift, I guess. But nobody says, oh, I really want to have sardine candy canes. If they do, they're a sick fuck and should be on a government watch list. But that's one of my biggest criticisms of Chopped. And, you know, I think the show is kind of like past the shark in the sense of like, hey, like we're just going to put in regular food anymore. But like, listen, like you could definitely put in like a flavored candy cane that's a little bit more understandable, a little bit more desirable. Or if you want to have a fishy flavor, I'm sure you could just put in sardines. Like it wouldn't have changed much. Or put sardines and candy canes in the basket. I don't know. I just felt like it's like nobody eats these things.
Yeah. How much do you think a pack of six sardine candy canes would cost?
$10.
$17.95.
Okay.
How many stars out of five on Amazon do you think they have?
I bet they have four because you know what you're getting. Yeah, you know what you're getting if you're going to do that. It's not like they surprise you on them. I did see that like on another holiday season, they had a kale flavored candy canes. Oh. So they seem to have like the bad flavored candy canes in different episodes. But the other thing they're going to have is holiday pasta, which seems just to be a basic like macaroni shaped in like holiday shapes. Then we have citron, a citrus fruit, and then we have a sushi menorah, another type of thing I don't like on Chop, where it's like, okay, you could just put sushi in there, but now we have to design it in a way that is like festive or is interesting. It's like, just put sushi in there. It's fine.
We have to be inclusive of all the religions so they don't just
– Hey, listen, Christmas. I am thrilled that they have some type of representation for the Jewish community. Shout out Jeremy from Reality Daily. But like – they could have put in like challah bread. Like they could have put in like an actual like Jewish food, like a staple around Hanukkah, as opposed to like, hey, we're just going to put a different type of food into a shape of Hanukkah. I just feel like it's like, okay, either put in sushi if you want the Jewish inclusivity, let's put something that they actually eat. I don't think anybody's actually having a sushi menorah for Hanukkah or Christmas for that matter.
Do you think that's ever existed, like in the history of like sushi restaurants and grocery stores, sushi menorah?
I'm sure somebody's done it because it's like, hey, let's do something festive. Let's do it. I know I had sushi one time that was in the shape of a four-leaf clover for St. Patrick's Day. So I'm sure there has been people that have, designed things just to be a little festive.
Yeah, Google has it's like pieces of sushi, like just individual wheels, and then the candle is like stuck in it to like make
them interesting. Aura.
Like there's a legit candle. I doubt you would feel like that, but yeah, I guess it's a thing.
So you're a lot more prone to cooking than I am. I don't cook anything. I mess up everything. But what would you cook with just ingredients?
Okay, so I thought about this for every single one of the dishes. Now I will say, because I don't know like what the standard ingredients that they have in the Chopped kitchen are. My idea is like not as good as the other ones because I only really thought about like, okay, what were the ingredients in the basket? And knowing with what happened, I probably would have been eliminated this round. But my idea was I wanted to do a seafood pasta. So I wanted to cut the candy canes, like because I'm assuming the white part was the mint part and the gray part was the sardine flavor, I hope. And I was going to cut out the sardine flavor and kind of like, as I'm cooking the pasta, just have that kind of like cook down so it's not like crunchy. And then I was going to use the mint and the citron zest to make a sauce. So it was going to be a seafood pasta with a mint and citron zest sauce. which would probably get me eliminated based off of what happened.
Well, like, I like how you say probably, like, you're going to beat these fucking professional chefs that, like, are in, like, five-star restaurants. Like, I love the confidence that you think there's even a remote possibility that you might be able to survive, because you absolutely would not.
I mean, honestly, if you look at the ideas, like, I kind of have, like, a brain for it, though. Like, I'm on the same
Sure. level. I definitely agree with that. So I do not cook. So I did not, you know, think of any type of ingredients or whatever. But I did put it into ChatGPT. I love doing this, as you've seen in some of the other episodes. So they are going to spit out a citron and sardine candy cane pasta salad. They said cut the sushi into bite-sized pieces. Add parsley, lemon juice, yogurt, mayonnaise, salt, and pepper. I'm just putting the ingredients they put in. And they said how they would actually cook it. To me, I think that's, like, okay to get all the ingredients in there, but I do think it's kind of one note. But I also think some of the, like, ways they did it was kind of one note, too, where they kind of just relied more on the actual pasta that's there as opposed to, you know, creating something that's super-duper unique. But let's get into the individuals. We'll start with Boots, since he was introduced first. He's going to make a winter seafood mac and cheese. He's adding mozzarella, parmesan, and gruyere cheese, I believe is how it's pronounced. I will say that the restaurant that he was working for, Queen's Bully, I'm not sure if he's still working there or not, but he was at the time of the grill champion, the grill masters tournament, very big into grilled cheese. So I knew he was going to be able to do pretty well here.
I thought he had the best idea, right? Like, seafood mac. Like, what else are you going to do?
Yeah, I think it's kind of good.
BS, though, that he gets to use, like, Gruyere cheese and, like, all this other stuff. Like, if I had to criticize his dish, it's, like, half of it was not, like, the best part of his dish, like, the cheesy goodness of, like, a mac and cheese is not the ingredient itself.
Sure. I mean, I think you can bring – I think you can have things brought together to make the dish whole, because, like, if you just use all four ingredients, it's kind of basic. You need to elevate it with other ingredients. So I think he did a good job in that. The problem I had is I think that, like, the low IQ person in me would automatically say, hey, let's do a pasta because there's pasta right in front of me. I think the other people had a better idea because they didn't make the pasta, like, the star. And I think that because it is the most, like, in your face, you know, you dissect the sushi the way that you want to, and some of the other things that you're able to do. I just think that you probably shouldn't do a pasta as the appetizer. But I can understand for him having such a great macaroni background, I understand that's why he would want to do it. Now, the inspiration is that the family does mac and cheese for the holidays. Does your family do mac and cheese for the holidays?
Actually, yes, we do.
Yeah, I love it. Such a good holiday food. Yeah, well, I love mac and cheese. One of my favorite side dishes. Loves when it's baked, like baked mac and cheese. I don't like the traditional, like, Kraft or anything like that. So definitely something I look forward to every year. He's going to add some bacon to counterbalance the fishy sweet taste of the candy cane, which I loved, and that seems to have worked. He said he's already watching holiday movies on TV. Now, granted, it doesn't seem so weird now because we're talking about the episode aired on the 18th or 19th. I believe. So it doesn't seem so weird now. But when do you think they filmed this, Nathan? They seem to be embarrassed. Yeah, I'm thinking so. I'm thinking October, and he probably was watching, you know, Christmas Story and the Grinch already in October. Probably right after Christmas, I would say. I mean, right after Halloween, excuse me. It's probably when they were filming this. But then when we get to the review, Scott's going to say the flavor is great. With a fun sauce, he said the salmon was really overcooked, though. Eric's going to say did not need the bacon. And Scott defends it and says it gave it a little smoke. Monique's going to say the sauce was delicious. And she said that the weirdness of the candy cane dill and nutmeg is crazy, but it did work. I did think he was probably cooked when he overcooked his salmon. I thought he was definitely going to go out in the appetizer round.
That's hard. You can't be like the grill master, like meat guy, and then mess up the protein. I feel like that's like a trope, like in these shows. Like when you get.
I mean, to be fair though, like you say, like the grill guy, like he cooks meats. He didn't cook a meat. He cooked imitation crab. Like a little different than what you're probably normally cooking up. Like it's not like he's cooking brisket there.
Yeah, but I thought it was the salmon that was overcooked. I thought the other person.
Yeah, it was fish though. Like it was seafood.
Yes, fish salmon goes on the grill. That's like a classic, like grilled.
Yeah, item. But you said like your meat.
The grill guy, okay, the grill guy.
That's fair. The grill master. But then we move on to Christina. Christina is going to do a creamy crab holiday pasta, adding mushrooms, Parmesan, and Gruyere cheese. The inspiration was the macaroni that was from Haitian culture, which, listen, makes me want to try some mac and cheese of Haitian culture, as we're already talking about it. She adds capers late in the round for a little bit of flair. And then her charity is the American Cancer Society. She lost her aunt in 2018 due to colon cancer. And this, to me, is really like the flashing of like, okay, well, if they're putting their charity out in round one and other contestants are not, you know, those other contestants aren't going to go anywhere. So it really, really was either going to be her or Boot this round, because they were the only two that actually talked about their charities.
Yeah, that's tough. The other thing, too, is like she used imitation crab in her dish. And maybe like I'm just so used to watching like Gordon Ramsay Kitchen Nightmares. But usually when you use imitation crab, you're screwed. Like you're getting yelled at. You're getting eliminated or whatever. And honestly, like maybe you disagree with me, but how do you pick out the imitation crab out of that big sushi tray where there's all that fresh fish, and you pick the one fake thing to put in?
Well, the thing about the imitation crab is I think that it is very similar to like tofu, where like it basically will suck up the sauces and the seasonings that you have in there. You can kind of make it your own thing, where it's like the salmon obviously is going to have a distinct flavor. So if you kind of want something that's going to, you know, kind of resemble the sauces of the citron and, you know, the sardine flavor and things like that, I think that it actually makes a lot of sense to do something like the imitation crab. But I'm also saying this is somebody that doesn't cook, and I can certainly understand how you would have some issues with them not taking the better fish. Unfortunately, despite what I said about it being great to be able to have the citron stand out, it did not stand out, because Eric's going to say, listen, love the candy canes, but you know, the crab is just completely lost, and the citron's lost. Scott's going to agree that the citron being left out is tough. Manit's going to love the capers, but the pasta needed more time. And I really thought that we were going to have Boots be eliminated here, but it's not a surprise based on the feedback that it was going to be Christina.
She was your winner pick, wasn't she?
Yep, thought she was going to crush it. She had the harder baskets in her original showing on the show, so I thought that, you know, nothing here would be too crazy in comparison to some of the stuff that she had on that show, like durian and sastraming. I thought that she was going to be able to just like really walk through this, and for her to be able to be chopping the appetizer around was certainly very shocking. But then we move on to Kaylina. We're going to see her use the sardine candy cane and make a curry soup. She added lemongrass, fish sauce, green curry. I gotta say, I loved the idea of this, but I did not love her explanation of it, where she was like, Seattle's cold, so I'm gonna make something warm. It's like, there's no better way you can put it.
Her dish confused me. Like, is it just me? I don't know. Sardine, candy cane, curry, soup. I'm no culinarian, but
yeah, I like, think it makes to sense. It kind of makes sense. I mean, I feel like when I have like curry, I do have seen like some type of like fish flavor be added to that. And I feel like that's where the sardine comes in here. Candy cane obviously is a little bit odd. But, you know, even Boots was talking about how when you taste the candy cane is not particularly sweet. Like it is a little bit more umami because of the fishness of it. So it probably was something that didn't necessarily skew the curry and make it like too sweet. So I actually kind of like the idea of it.
Yeah, I guess like doing like I think the judges said it too, like doing a hot dish like a soup when we're doing like a holiday theme is kind of smart. But I don't know. Like I know that like she won and she, you know, had the best dishes, but that's the one dish on the counter for at least for this round where I'm like, nah, I'll probably pass on that compared to the other ones on paper.
Well, she didn't win the show. Even though I think that she was robbed. I just felt like the only thing about this dish that I was a little bit worried about was you have this salmon that's raw from the sushi, and she was like, I'm going to cook it by pouring the soup on there. And that's how it's going to cook. I just feel like you have a lot of risk there that maybe the broth is not going to be warm enough to be able to cook it enough. And granted, you know, it's sushi, so they're probably not going to be as prone to be against eating it raw, but it's just like, I don't know, I just think that's such a risk just to be like, I'm only gonna cook it by pouring the broth on it, and it'll be good enough at that point. I just feel like that's you're literally playing with fire No pun intended for Anthesa's tournament there.
Team gimmicky.
Yeah. And then for the review, though, Manit's going to say the soup is a great idea and it's flavorful. She credits the salmon here. The negative is that she gets none of the citron. Eric's going to say that this is a wonderful interpretation. He disagrees with Manit. He thinks the lemongrass is a great way to maximize the citron. Scott says the green curry in addition is good. He agrees with Manit. A little lime juice would create perfect perfumes of the citron. And he does think that the pasta to soup ratio, it has a little bit too much pasta to the amount of soup that's there. And then we go to the last person, Anisha. Love this idea. Going to make a taquito pasta, which adds poblanos, chipotle, and citron. Said she would make it because her mom would just put Thanksgiving leftovers and put it into a taco. And I love this, Nathan, because there's always a tradition around a lot of families' households that after a couple days, you start throwing the turkey and the stuffing and whatever else you're cooking for the holidays on like a sandwich, and then you just eat the sandwiches up. So the idea that there's, you know, a mother out there that's doing tacos, I'm sure she's not the only one, and be able to transition that here into the taquitos, I thought it was such a great idea.
Oh yeah, I loved this, and I knew her dish was going to be good when they did the shot of the poblano pepper just sitting on the stove, like right on the direct fire. I was like, yeah, she's going to make a banger this round.
It doesn't matter. She definitely knew what she was doing here. She said she wanted to use the pasta as a filling by adding cocoa and citron zest and juice. She had two sauces because she talks about as they edit it so much. They really hone it down our throats here. And she got two different backgrounds. She got a Mexican background and a Venezuelan background. So she wants to make a salsa from each. I love that as well, where it's like, not only are you going to make one salsa, you're going to make two. Obviously, there's double the chance of criticism, double the chance that you're not going to have perfect salsas. But I do love the jump here to go ahead and put not one salsa, but two sauces on the plate.
Yeah, it looked fantastic.
Yeah, looked awesome. Manit is going to say during the review that not only different flavors, but the different unique textures really makes this dish really great. She says putting candy cane into a salsa verde is genius. She would prefer the taquitos to be fried a little bit longer because they get a little soggy, she said. Eric said this is perfect for the chopped setting, but agrees with Manit that they do get a little soggy. Scott loved it. He didn't have any type of negative feedback. And then we see the first person shop is Christine. She was dropped due to the pasta being underseasoned as well as the citron is lost. Did you expect it to be Christine, or did you think maybe it was Boots like myself?
I was in on Boots not getting eliminated. I didn't even really give it much thought. It was a foregone conclusion for me for the first boot.
And then we move on to the entree round. And this is where we get the most bullshit of the entire baskets. Santa Claus meatloaf. Like, what the fuck are we doing here? I get it's festive, but this is just four ingredients in one.
Yeah, this is a chef's dream.
Mm-hmm. And they're not even bad things. It's not like the beard is made of like whipped cream or something crazy. It's like, it's literally just mashed potatoes. Like, you gave them meat, potatoes, and like a couple olives and green and like a green pepper or something like that. Like, you basically gave them it's like a layup.
This is like one of the dishes where like they make fun of like people from like the 40s for making, where it's they have like the Jell-O and there's like a hot dog floating in it.
Yeah,
that same type of person makes the Santa Claus meatloaf.
I've never even heard of Santa Claus meatloaf before. It kind of does make sense though, having the potatoes with the meat, but have not heard of it, but this is similar to the sushi menorah. It's like, who's making this? Just pick an ingredient if you want it in there. If you wanted to have potatoes and meatloaf, have like the meatloaf with a side of potatoes be like the thing. Like, don't dress it up just because. Like, a little annoying to me. But sword lettuce, which is apparently pretty bitter. Camel, a ribeye roast, which I thought was really interesting. And mistletoe martini. Now, Nathan, we talked about it for the appetizer round. You had some ideas. What idea did you have for this round?
All right, so for this one, I wanted to do I wanted to combine, because I think they had a meat grinder. I wanted to like grind the meatloaf with the camel to make like one consistent like ground beef, and I wanted to use that to make a meatloaf and camel ribeye burger topped with sword lettuce. And I wanted to make – this is where I was undecided. I either wanted to kind of like marinate the lettuce in the mistletoe martini, or I wanted to make some sort of sauce out of the mistletoe martini, like add some sort of like thickening agent or something to it to get it a little more like thick rather than like, you know, that liquid martini. I thought the barbecue sauce thing was genius. I wish I thought of that when I wrote it down. But I wanted to do a burger essentially.
Yeah, I think it was a good idea. I put it into ChatGPT, and I can tell you I did it 5 different times, Nathan, changed it around every single time, and they just could not come up with anything. Like, every time they would come up with it, they would try to skirt around it, and they would make 2 dishes out of the 4 ingredients, and I would be like, no, you got to put it all in one, and they just came back with, like, just do the camel and have, like, potatoes and, like, mashed potatoes on the side. Like, it was like nothing that would really combine all 4 of them. So because of that, I did try to put on my thinking cap, and the first thing I thought about was a shepherd's pie, just because you do have the meat and potatoes in there. You know, obviously we're going to see Kaylina do something similar and do a chicken pot pie, but yeah, that's the only thing I could really think about. But let's get into what they did cook. We'll go to Boots first. He's doing the grilled camel ribeye with mistletoe martini barbecue sauce, adding poblanos, celery, shallots. Listen, he saw that Anissa got all of this good feedback for the poblanos, and he was like, oh, got to put out my poblanos. I know how to cook poblanos, too.
Dude, poblanos delicious.
Yeah, definitely. I love the idea of him making his own custom barbecue sauce, though. That was really fun. Kind of goes back to his roots as the winner, as well as probably his roots as the actual cook in everyday life as well. He said protein is just protein when it comes to camel. And this is when I knew he was fucked, because the judges were talking about how you had to cut it real thin and everything. I just thought there was a real chance that he was going to end up undercooking it because it was too much meat. It turns out that it was the complete opposite effect.
Yeah, I felt like he was screwed when he made the comment about, I'm doing biscuits next round. You don't speak
about
next round and chopped.
I was thinking about dessert. It's like, oh, man, I don't know, man. Apparently, he does a lot of biscuits. I don't know if he has. I think they said he had, like, a biscuit-themed restaurant. I do know that the sports bar that he worked at the time of the Chopped Grill tournament, they had, like, a brunch that I'm sure did some biscuits. So maybe that's what they were referring to, is like that restaurant. He still works there. Maybe he's opened up a new restaurant. I have no clue. But it was really interesting to hear him say that. He used the sword lettuce for chimichurri, which I thought was really smart, and then used the mashed potatoes from the meatloaf, used the croquet. So this is interesting. He didn't use the meat from the meatloaf. He just basically decided, hey, I'm just going to use the mashed potatoes, which, listen, if you got the camel as your protein, you don't necessarily need the ground beef for the meatloaf. If you can skirt around with just eating the mashed potatoes, I say go for it.
Yeah, I think if you're doing just like a steak, there's literally no reason for the ground beef. Although the ground beef is probably better, though. I think he should have taken my idea and done a burger, and I think he wouldn't have got chopped, personally.
Yeah. And then Manit's going to love the chimichurri. Love the idea of it. The potato croquette was good as well. Eric's going to love the potato croquette, but the camel, unfortunately, is overcooked. And then overly sweet is what Eric's going to say, and Scott is going to agree on that. He's not going to add any other input that they're going to show. Then we go over to Kaylina. She's going to play off the Seattle needs warmth theme again, and is going to create a camel and Santa Claus meatloaf pot pie with a sword lettuce drop biscuit. I love the idea of doing the biscuit here with the sweet lettuce. She's going to be adding carrots, mushrooms, and thyme to it. Apparently, this is when they talked about how Boots is like the biscuit person, so they were giving her a lot of credit from the judges' table of attempting it, because apparently he's just so good at the biscuits. They said that it's almost crazy that she would even try to compare herself to what he can cook. Manit's going to love the biscuits. Loved. They added the sword lettuce. The camel's well cooked, and the martini works, but it does going to need acidity here, and it's going to be the second round in a row that they're going to say that the acidity needs some work. Scott's going to say the biscuit is good, but a little sweet, and the whole dish is just a little too sweet for his liking. Eric's going to love the biscuits, but he wanted more salt. And then we go to Anissa. She's going to do a camel beef meatball with garlic, mashed potatoes, and salsa borchata. It is also going to be adding breadcrumbs, eggs, and apples. Thoughts on Anissa?
I thought her final product, like, looked good. I kind of got played, because what I was doing is, like, you know how they always, like, cut to commercial, like, 5, 4, 3, and then it cuts to commercial? That's when I was deciding, like, all right, who do I think is getting chopped based off of, like, how they're plating it? And when they showed her, like, kind of finishing up, it was just, like, the meatballs on the plate. And I'm like, she's done. It's over. She's eliminated. Like, those look terrible. And then they had it in front of the judges, and it looked amazing.
Yeah, It definitely was a little bit of a clickbait move there by Food Network. I did think there was a possibility she could get chopped because she did talk about her charity. And granted, they have to talk about it at some point. But because we didn't have Kaylina talk about it, I was like, okay, well, like by proxy, it has to be either Boots or her. So that's kind of what I was a little bit worried about for her. But Scott's going to love the salsa. Says the flavors are good. Texture of the meatball, though, could be better. Eric's going to say the blend of the apples first for the meatball, but loves the flavor. And Manit's going to say that you've made a mistake with the meatballs because you need a meat grinder, not just a food processor, because now you turn into a meatball paste. But the person's going to be chopped is Boots. And I guess it's not too surprising. Like, he probably was the person I thought was going to get there when they said he overcooked the camel. Unfortunately, the barbecue sauce was not enough to save him.
No, they did him dirty. They did Boots dirty. Like, come on.
You think?
The meatballs were dry. They were dry.
Yeah, like, but, like, you overcooked the camel, too. Like, no, aren't those equal?
No. Camel is going to be dry and, like, tough. No matter what, like, you can't give him that ingredient and then he uses it in good faith, like not in a stew, because like when you do the pot pie, like it's easy to make any of that meat tender when you just got it in that nice stew. He takes a leap of faith and he uses like that main ingredient and he makes that like his main thing. He does the croquet perfectly. He does the like his seasoning was on point. Everything about his dish was praised except for the camel, but that's how the camel is. And they wanted him to cook something with that. So I don't see how it's his fault.
You can't overcook the food on Chopped.
He didn't overcook it. That's how the camel is. That is
no, a, they said you overcooked the camel, as in you cooked it too long. Mm-hmm.
I think he got robbed. I think like he got eliminated for what they should have eliminated the meatballs for. They were dry and overcooked.
Yeah, interesting here. I mean, I'm not going to put up too much of a fight if you feel like Anfisa should have went, because it is kind of tough when they're all talking about how the meatballs could have been better. But like when you do overcook the camel, I do think that it's a little bit more forgiving to do the meatballs than it is the actual camel. But moving on, we have the dessert round. The ingredients are going to be the frozen fruitcake salad, pomegranates, gingerbread cookie dough, and a mini booze bottle tree. Nathan, what are you cooking for dessert?
Okay, so I actually ended up like pretty close to one of the contestants, but I wanted to do a fruit and gingerbread donut with a honey whiskey glaze. So I think where I differed from Kaylina is she used the pomegranate like in her like sauce/whatever you were dipping the donut in. But I was just gonna mix all the stuff from the frozen fruit cake and the pomegranates like into the donut batter, and then yeah, make some sort of honey whiskey glaze. But donuts, we were on the same page there.
ChatGPT did make a little comeback here in the dessert round. They are going to do a fruitcake parfait with a gingerbread crust and then a alcohol-based pomegranate sauce, which I think is like a decent idea. I think they're definitely going to get chopped here against either of the contestants because it is probably not as interesting as what the other two put on the plate. But I do think it is better than what was in the entree round, which is basically like, I have to make two dishes because I can't put everything together. Yep. And then we go to Kaylina. She is going to make a fruitcake and gingerbread donut with pomegranate lemon curd. She's going to be adding cinnamon, allspice, and nutmeg. And this is when we get what her charity was, which is NAMI, which is the National Alliance of Mental Health. For the review, Scott's going to say it's spectacular. The fruitcake salad on the donut and the interior is so good. And he loves the curd and the flavors are banging. Eric's going to love using the gingerbread as a powdered sugar. He loves the pomegranate. Then we're going to see Manit loves the lemon curd, but she does not have the amount of lemon curd to the donut. So Manit's going to say, listen, if I ate all of this, like the lemon would really get stuck in my throat. Like it would be so acidic-y that it would kind of bother my throat. I feel like this is really grasping at straws here from Manit.
Come on, Manit. Like, seriously? Yeah. Like, you're going to complain that you have leftovers?
Like- yeah. It's rough. It's the holidays. Like, there's a lot of leftovers from the holidays. But then we go to Anisha. She's going to do a Kazbaza El Intaka, which is candied squash. When you Google it, though, it does come up as like a candied pumpkin in some capacity. So I don't know if it's interchangeable or something like that. But it's going to have a gingerbread crumble and a gin pomegranate topping. They added orange zest, apple zest, and mint, and then she's going to pick the whiskey from the booze tree. Do you think the whiskey is the one to go with there? I know we didn't get to see every single thing that was on the booze tree, but I mean, from your experience, like, do you think that you would go with whiskey as the alcohol that you're going to cook with, or do you think you would go towards a different type of alcohol?
I knocked out the gin. I'm sure you could find, like, a good use of, like, the floral flavors for gin for your dessert, but I was going to go towards the Irish cream. Like, I know I used the whiskey in my thing, but I would think the Irish cream would be the best for dessert, yeah.
I would think so too, but I also do not drink. So not only do I not cook, I don't drink. So it's hard for me to know exactly what would work pretty well. But just the idea of like the cream being in there, I thought it'd be a little bit lighter, maybe something that would like mix in really well, maybe like an ice cream or something like that. I didn't know really what to do there. But listen, if you know whiskey is probably something that you cook with relatively often, I would think, of the alcohols, because it is a pretty common one. So I'm sure that she would know what to do. But for the review, Eric's going to love the cashews and likes what they did with the fruitcake salad. Manit's going to love the flavors, but wants the gingerbread to be cooked longer and it become a little muddy. And Scott's going to echo those same sentiments. And I had already wrote in my notes, Nathan, that the person that's going to win is Kalina. And I was so shocked that Kalina was chopped here.
They robbed her. Like, who wants – imagine if you were, like, a kid and you're being served dessert. And I told you, we're going to give you cashews, we're going to give you a butternut squash, and you're going to get some, like, gingerbread crumbs.
I mean
– versus donuts.
That's obviously understandable how a kid would react to that, but we're not kids. Like, we're grown-ass men. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you should have a better palate than that.
Like, I still don't want a butternut squash for dessert.
Yeah, I definitely would say that I'd rather have a donut than a butternut squash. But what I will say is it is candied, and I do think, similar to pumpkin pie, which I mentioned that when you look this up, it is pumpkin pie. You know, that's not necessarily people would assume to be dessert. Same thing with sweet potato. Sweet potato pie is a pretty popular pie as well, and that's not something that you would typically associate with dessert. But they're candied, and that's what makes it good. And I think the squash has that ability. So I definitely would not stick my nose up at this. But to me, it's like, if you look at just this round, and I know they look at the entire body of work, but there is literally nothing that you can really say about Kalina other than Manit basically saying that the portion sizes are a little bit wonky in terms of having too much lemon and not enough donut, that it kind of like clogs her throat. But other than that, there's nothing there. And that's a preference, really, with Manit. That's not an echoed sentiment by the other two. And if you go full body of work, I mean, you have Anissa, whose like meatballs were like, not only, you know, the textures weren't the best, but you have Manit, who said that she used the wrong tool to make the meatballs. She's saying that you should have used, a meat grinder as opposed to the food processor, because now it just becomes kind of like a paste. And it's like, oh, well, if you're saying body of work, I don't know how you give it to them. I think that the taquitos was such a great innovative idea that I definitely think that if you want to give Anissa the appetizer round, I agree with you. But it's tough for me to think that Kalina did not win the entree round and the dessert round. I think she won both. And I think if you're doing the full body of work, 2-1, Kalina wins.
2-1, and you won the last round too.
But that's what, yeah, exactly. So I do think this was like a highway robbery. And I do wonder, what did it have something to do with the charities? You know, do they look at the charities and say, hey, you know what? I think Justice with Migrant Women and the National Alliance for Mental Health are both great causes. But like, you know, are we more, you know, do we like one over the other? And then if so, let's kind of like, you know, cater to that as the winner. So another reason why they should have had cashier, because I do wonder, was that something to do with it? It was like, okay, I like this charity better than the other one.
That's crazy. I was trying to see if, like usually when we do these shows, when something like this happens, I like to see what Twitter's saying. Twitter is not talking about Chopped.
Yeah.
The last post, so I searched Kalina because I was hoping there were going to be people that were like, Kalina, queen, robbed. Literally anytime, like last time someone tweeted about Kalina Bliss was March 14th.
Yeah, I would probably just like look up Chopped and then just like go to the most recent replies. But the problem is if you type in anything that's even remotely vague on Twitter now, you will get porn everywhere. So you have to be very careful when you're doing that. But don't you think I'm like kind of on the right path there, where maybe it could have been based on something that's other than the dishes? Like, could have been like, hey, like, yeah, this is for charity. It doesn't really matter who wins. Let's pick the one that we would prefer to win the 10 grand.
I think they were both noble causes, though. I just don't see, like,
I agree.
Like, what would you be scared of? Like, the fans being like, how dare you not give it to this one? Like, I just don't see, like, what you would be scared of by picking one.
Well, see, I agree that they're both awesome. I think this is probably a bigger issue if Boots gets there, because Boots was doing like the Boys and Girls Club, but like a local version of it. So I could see that being like, oh my goodness, like, are we going to give a local charity the 10 grand over a national charity like these two have? But I do think that there may be something where it's like, hey, like if these people are for the most part pretty close, where like it's not like a complete shut, you know, shut the door, runaway winner, then like, hey, which one do I actually, you know, vouch for the most? So I think they're both awesome charities. I'm sure all three of the judges did think that, but it does make me think, like, you know, is it possible that maybe they thought that one was just like, you know, need of the money more than the other one?
We might have to get Kalina on this podcast. We'll exit interview.
Yeah. But Kalina, good sport. And she did say that Anissa didn't deserve to win. Let's not think Anissa did put on good dishes. Like, I don't think she had that many flaws in the dessert. I just think that Kalina's was flawless, and that's why I think that they should have won. But, you know, Anissa, I think, still a great winner here, still put up some really great dishes as well. So very excited. And listen, the Justice for Migrant Women, I think, is a very noble cause as well, and I'm sure that 10 grand will be put to good use.
Yeah, what charity would you pick?
I think you got to go St. Jude on these things. I think you go St. Jude. I think it's something that is always in need of money. You know, they can never get too much money there because it's so expensive to treat cancer. And I also think it's like, if they are going to say, hey, I like this charity more, let's keep Wyatt around, even though he screwed up, it's probably going to be St. Jude, the one they're going to keep you around on, right? Like, that's probably like the most like heartstring charity, like when you're talking about children. So I think that's probably what you got to do. If you want to play the meta game, I think you got to do something that involves children.
There we go.
Or veterans.
Yeah, veterans is a good one. But the problem with the veterans charity is you got to be careful, because there's like the charities where it's like, you know, support our veterans, and then like the money just goes straight to Trump. Like, it's like those fake ones where it's just like a Republican, or it could be Democrat, I guess, too. But like a political charity, you got to be careful of avoiding those.
I'm sure they have some review on Food Network, though, that they had to like make sure all these charities were like rated, like charity ratings or whatever, like when they do the audits and stuff of like how much money from every dollar goes to it. I'm sure that they had to check all of this stuff beforehand. So if you did pick like a veterans charity, I'm sure they would clear it beforehand. But like Wounded Warriors is the one that sticks out to me as like the most notable veterans charity, although I'm sure there are several. All right, Nathan, that does it for the holiday episode of Chopped. Anything you want to say before we head off?
It was good. It was, you know, I like watching these shows when it's like, I wish we had a bad chef on the show. That's what I'm going to say. That's my one thing. I wish we had just like a blatantly bad dish. I don't think any of the dishes were bad. So it was good to see like the creativity, and it was like, you know, stress-free watching, like nothing made me mad. So it was good in that sense. I had a good time watching it, but you know, next time I want someone bad in there that like Gordon Ramsay's gonna yell at.
That's the thing is like, you're not getting that in Chopped that often. Like every now and then you'll get somebody who absolutely sucks, but for the most part, these people are pretty well versed in their craft, especially if you're winning a grand champion. Like, this was never gonna be like, yeah, this weren't like fan favorites or whatever. I mean, they were fan favorites, but they weren't like fans of the show, like super fans or whatever, where they may not have any actual cooking skills. These are people that have not only been in the Chopped Kitchen, but have won two matches. Like, they beat like a group of 16, like they came out as the winner. So they were never going to have bad ingredients here. So definitely liked that. But I definitely think that Chopped with like, almost like on Netflix, they have a show called Nailed It, which is a baking competition, but it's people who really don't know how to bake that are on there, and they have to like do this replica. I do think that a version of that on Chopped, where it's like a bunch of people who don't even know how to like basically boil water doing Chopped, I think that would be a lot more fun to watch personally, and if we're recovering it. But yeah, I thought this was a great special. I was very excited to see some grand champions go at it, because you knew you were going to get some high level dishes, and I think that we did. So I'm very happy that we did that. So make sure you're listening to some of our other stuff that we covered. If you like the cooking stuff, we covered MasterChef earlier in the year. We covered the Great British Bake Off as well. We also cover shows like Survivor and The Amazing Race and The Challenge 39. You can follow us on our social media pages. We are at Reality Daily Pod. And lastly, share the podcast with anybody you know that enjoys reality television. Lots of reality TV coming up in January, including a couple cooking shows that we may be covering. All right. Appreciate you all for listening. Until next time, bye.